Welcome to Minute Impossible. It's Friday. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Dave.
And I'm Rick. And I swear, I am fine right now.
You say you're fine, but you're going to be naked and hugging people in a few minutes.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Well, it's not. I feel like you're compensating for something.
Not as much as Owen.
We are moving slowly into the actual movie, and the actual movie begins with a little island music and the inside shot of a fridge and Jules, Michelle Monaghan, not being tortured and giving Tom a kiss, giving Ethan a kiss.
Yeah, she's not dead. And this is a great way to start a minute.
It's a great way to start a minute. She's not dead. Little music playing in the background. They're at a party. I don't know whose party they're at, but they're talking about her brother. And her brother seems to get enough beers in him. He'll be naked and hugging people.
And in the background, we see Dave's guy, Greg Grunberg.
There he is.
Out of focus.
There's that amazing. No, that's how he looks.
That's his normal
Chris.
Look.
Chris, that looming. Greg Grunberg has no sharp edges.
Oh,
he is just,
that makes sense.
He's in soft focus at all times. If you met him in For Reals, you'd know that. Have you ever met the Grunberg?
No, I've never met the Grunberg. I've seen him in person, but I've never met him.
Was he indistinct in the background?
Yes, because I was at the theater I was working at, and he was out there in the lobby.
He loves soft focus so much that if you wear glasses, he walks up to you with a thing of Vaseline and just smears it on your glasses.
What a jerk.
Yeah, it's very annoying. A lot of people complain.
Warren Beatty does the same thing, though, so...
We see the last part of the credits, and we get our Anne Lawrence Fishburne that we talked about yesterday.
Oh, thank God.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Lawrence Fishburne's in it, and we all know, we're all like, all right, Lawrence Fishburne's going to be the boss.
Yeah.
And as we look at it, we're all like, well, that means Billy Crudup's the bad guy. That's what we're all thinking as we're seeing all the credits go by. You're like, oh, unless Jonathan Rhys-Davies, he could definitely, Dries Meyers, he could be. Wait, is it Jonathan Rhys-Davies or Jonathan Rhys-Meyers?
Rhys-Meyers. I think you're thinking of John Rhys-Davies.
I am. I'm thinking of Dwarf. Fool of a Took.
Sala.
Rhys-Davies.
Yeah, I think of Sala. Belosh.
Bad dates.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. So, John Rhys-Meyers?
Yes.
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Oh my God, it's gonna be my. It's what's his face all over again. It's who's my the Scott Irishman that I can't remember his name.
Brendan Gleeson.
It's my Brendan Gleeson for this season. It's gonna be trying to remember that it's Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. Is it Rhys or Reese?
Rhys. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to. We called Naya by the wrong name for her. Tandy. We called her by her. We called her Thandy the whole time. So,
now,
what do we know?
All right. So, 14 seconds in.
Yes.
I know you guys love this on the Cast of Furious. I know you love it. I just want to get ahead of it. You're going to be like excited. Oh, look, we see Heinz products. Heinz, we're sponsored by Heinz. No, I tried to get sponsored by Heinz, and I got shat on by their Twitter account. So they're totally not up for. Sponsoring cool podcasts like this.
You didn't have a whole lot to do with Heinz, though. That's the problem.
I know, but like I talk about Heinz, though. That's the problem. You know, I talk about it for free.
You know what? The important thing is, you may have been snubbed by the corporation, but the other podcasts around you came to your defense.
And I appreciate that 100%. So, but all right, so at least we know that Ethan Hunt doesn't like Hunt's ketchup. I think it's important to know.
Yeah. He's not a Cane's guy when it comes to mayonnaise.
He's got relish. He's got ketchup. He's got two bottles of chili sauce.
Yeah.
Which is
have we ever seen Ethan Hunt eat?
I'm thinking.
We're all looking at the ceiling right now. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen him eat. No. Have I ever seen him drink?
Well, he was drinking at the end of Mission Impossible 1.
Yeah, with
Luther.
He
had a beer.
Yeah, so it's always with Luther drinking a beer. He'll have a beer.
Yeah, and he'll have a beer at the end of Ghost Protocol also.
We've never, seen him with a chalupa.
No.
or a he churro. Likes
not like Brad Pitt in Ocean's 11, where he's always
or
eating.
Or Brad Pitt in anything.
Yeah. He's in Ad Astra over there eating, I'm sure. I've not seen it yet, but I'm sure he's out there
a
in space.
A cup of chopped onions. Looks like barbecue sauce. One of those two jars is probably stone ground mustard. He likes condiments. I like that. I respect the man who likes condiments.
Well, he's never home to eat any, keep anything real food in there, so he's got to have the condiments ready to go.
Yeah, he's kissing her, and they're talking about like the party that they're at. So I'm assuming they're at their house at this point, not knowing anything about the rest of the movie. Hint, hint, wink, wink. And they're happy. He is kissing him. He's then meeting her friends outside. Like more of their friends. Now, this is where you guys were talking about. This would have been the better scene if he was running up to this. Yeah. If the whole thing was this.
Because this feels so much.
Party.
This feels weird. It's like I don't like it now in this context after watching her, technically get murdered. I don't like this scene now. Like, I just don't like the domestic life after I see the horrific stuff.
No, it kind of throws
Does
you
it
off.
Does it
feel
macabre?
Yeah. Sort of, yeah.
Especially domestic life where they're having a party and there's like a toast
and they're all happy
going
and everything.
Because these are not spies. You know this. No. None of these people are in the game. These are all innocent people. And now you're like,
because you don't see
Phillips
Luther anywhere. I mean, come on.
Yeah. You're like, is Phillips Seymour Hall going to kill these people? Like, I don't feel comfortable now. Is terrorists going to attack them here?
Yeah, Chris, I'm glad you brought up that Luther's not here. I think Luther might be the closest thing that Ethan has to a best friend, and the fact that he's not at this party actually kind of bothers me.
And he brings it up later. He's like, "Oh, I heard, blah blah blah," and it's I don't know. It bothers me too.
I'm sure the invitation got lost in the
this
mail.
Is that John Mulaney monologue where he's just like, your dad doesn't have friends, and your wife's friends are not your dad's friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
he's just around them, and it's the same thing here. It's like. His girlfriend's friends are not, they're not Ethan Hunt's friends. He's putting a smile on for them, but and you'd think she would say, oh, do you have anybody from work you want to bring? And you should be like, yeah, like have Luther chill in the back, like smoke a cigar.
I have this big mountain of a man. I have, I have an ex-girlfriend, long story. She'll come.
But you know, they're both African-American, if that bothers you.
Yeah.
Because there doesn't seem to be
very white
any,
at this party.
Yeah, the party is very white.
There's an Asian couple in the
Billy.
Back.
There's it must
Billy
be an Oscar party.
So
high five, Oscar party. Joke. Okay. No one heard of it. It's fine. Let's just talk about memes, assholes.
Well, it's getting a couple likes. It's got three likes so far.
It's all three of us who've liked it, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's going good for me.
Well, yeah, and this is where we get our visual effects supervisors. We get some of our other people that are working on this movie. Anyone in particular we should talk about, Chris?
Other than Michael Giacchino. Besides Giacchino, who's awesome.
The visual effects supervisor is Roger Guyette.
Roger Guyette, who's worked on a lot of the Star Wars movies. And I think he worked on a lot of the Star Wars movies with JJ as well.
Yeah, which means that let's talk about those, Dave. Dave, do you have any opinions on that?
We've got ILM working on this film as far as the effects are concerned.
I think this is macabre, and it's just kind of washes over me, this suburban life, because I know it's not going to matter because Ethan Hunt will be tortured in a chair,
Yeah,
I know it's coming,
and we believe that she's going to be killed, and it's like, well, what's the point of showing us this now,
I do feel that undercuts this, and that's especially since this scene is so saccharine.
Yeah.
And so normal, and so Jerry Maguire.
I was going to say, it's like we walked into Jerry Maguire all of a sudden, and I'm like, what?
I think you're right, though. If we started with Luther and Ethan are talking about something, it's a domestic thing for this party. I think it would have been like, all right, it's a little light. Like, this movie's going a different direction. We're starting with ultra high action mountain climbing. We're seeing that, Ethan Hunt has evolved as a person. He's not, solo death climbing. He's, living a suburban life. I think I'd be more okay with that. And then you can introduce the Michelle Monaghan character. And then you slowly realize she doesn't know his life. And this is kind of like True Lies. True Lies kind of does it, where it's like,
yeah,
you
I was
start
gonna
with
say that too. Yeah.
Action in the front. You're like, oh man, Schwarzenegger's being a balls out action hero. Oh, he's got a suburban life with Jamie Lee Curtis. I think you could have had that with this. And I think we would have had a lot more fun seeing the two sides of Ethan Hunt And then, yeah.
So like Chris said, it's a progression. Last movie, he was willing to put love out there. He was willing to be in love with somebody. It's not the same person for contractual obligation reasons. That's fine. But it's another person that he's now like really with. Like yeah. not dating, like meeting their parents and hanging out with their friends.
Yeah. Like he's not taking her rock climbing. I doubt they go rock climbing, you know? I he's probably put that behind him.
Yeah, I doubt he does. When he shaved the hair, that's where the rock climbing went. It went with the hair. Yeah.
So, like, on that context, I like this the domestic life, but it just it's just so weird. Like, if you just started this movie with domestic life, I'd be like, okay, right now, I have this scene on mute right now because I'm just like, it doesn't matter. None of this matters now.
Yeah. And none of it's going to come back.
Yeah.
No.
None of these people are ever going to show up. If there's a, if his her brother, we'll never see Greg Grunberg again, for better or for worse.
I mean, we do see Aaron Paul at least once later in the movie.
Who's
But it's there? Really quick.
Aaron Paul's in this scene?
Yeah. He plays Rick. Which instantly makes him my favorite character in this entire movie.
Oh, yeah. God, see, that's, man, I tell you, this first act is forgettable for me. I don't wake up till Vatican.
Well, don't worry, Dave. They are going to introduce you to some bang-up Mission Impossible IMF characters, and you are going to be going to the moon, because these guys are grade A level fours. They are energy level fours. They are the Chris Ramirez of IMF co-hosts.
I agree.
I think they're great when they come in. I like that one has a flies a helicopter and the other one drives things.
I can't wait for your guests in a couple weeks when you get to the IMF office is weird because you don't think IMF should have an office. You think IMF should never – they should be mobile. They should always like just be moving.
Yeah, they're like then, agile, yeah.
And then it looks like it's the most CSI on CBS Sundays at 9 – type of set too. Like, it's so unoriginal. And then yeah, you have Simon Pegg and he's just doing his little piece, so just, you know,
he's pulling his he's doing his Q stuff over there.
Yeah,
just kind of being like, he's kind of forensic, but we don't really know what he does. You just know he works in the office. And I wouldn't say, and we'll get to this, I don't think Ethan Hunt is friends with him. I think he just knows him.
Yeah, at this point, Benji is a reliable guy, but
is it sad? Do you think he would have invited? Do you think he would have invited Billy Crudup's character that we'll find out later, which he didn't? Do you think he would have invited any of the people from Office other than Luther to this?
No, it seems like he's trying to avoid that lifestyle.
If he could,
I think he's definitely trying to keep a very clear distinction between his wife's friends and his work associates, because I don't think he really considers anybody else at the IMF his friend except for Luther.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get that at the end of the movie when they have that scene where they're all palling around. I'm like, this feels like a forced ass scene of them all standing around, and then it ends, I think, with a freeze frame. We'll get there. That is 120 minutes from now. We will get there. But yeah, I agree. I think he's cut off emotionally, ironically, at work, and he's putting on an act to be with a woman that he loves because he is emotionally invested in her. It's a weird, for those of us that are normal humans and have relationships, usually you're all in on the relationship, and sometimes other things suffer, but I feel like on this one it's like, are you even in on the relationship? Because you're obviously lying to her up front about what you do. It's almost like you're just in it for the love part of it. Like, he's so in love. Yet, I don't know.
No. I know what you're trying to say, because he's a man who's in love and he looks so in love, and then real life, Tom Cruise is jumping on a couch and you're just like, I don't know if I'm up for this right now. Like, it's too much arts imitating life.
Yeah, I'm tender.
Also, I'm sorry. I'm trying to look for, like, everyone's drinking champagne out of flute glasses except for, I guess, Tom Cruise. Well, Tom Cruise had a beer, but now he doesn't have a beer in his hand, and Greg Grunberg has his beer in his hand.
Did Greg Grunberg steal his beer, that bastard?
Yeah. I'm looking. I'm just like, he's just holding on to Michelle Monaghan like that. He's holding on to her like this. And yeah, everyone has champagne wine and a flute glass, and yeah, it's just
yeah. And so his
that beer wasn't for him to begin with.
Yeah, to be fair, he was getting it for somebody else. So this scene basically ends. This minute ends with Jules' sister doing a toast. Rick does not like this. This is the Greg Grunberg of scenes that Rick does not enjoy.
I cannot stand Melissa. She is literally the worst in my eyes. I mean, her husband Ken, he's okay.
Her husband looks like a poor man's Jason Isaac.
Yes.
Or is it? It's fine. I don't like how she's holding her glass too, Rick. You're right. I don't like it. I don't like the underhand hold the glass thing. It looks like she's holding it like she's in a Dickinson's novel.
It's funny that you
who?
That you make
a what
that
a what novel? Wait, hold on. A what kind of novel?
Dickinson's.
Mr. Like Dickinson's.
Emily Dickinson or
no,
or
the
like,
other guy.
Like yeah, Charles the brothers Dickinson that the Dickinson. Famously did plays
the,
and
the
books?
I want some more. That story, you know.
Oh, Charles and Herbert Dickinson's.
Yeah, the old Dickinson boys.
That's that movie they made with Matt Damon and Heath Ledger, right?
Yeah,
brothers Dickinson's.
Yes, that was it. Was so good.
Yeah, that's Terry Gilliam, man.
I'm sorry. Go on, Dave. I'm sorry,
Dave. Who did you say that Ken looks like?
Poor man's Jason Isaacs.
Because I feel like Paul Keeley, who is the actor who plays Ken, kind of looks like a poor man's Patrick Wilson.
Oh,
he also looks like a poor man's what's his name? The other actor. Who played John Connor in the Terminator Genesis?
That's Jason Sam Worthington?
No. That's not Jason Isaacs. No, that's not Jason Isaacs.
What's his name
that's
then?
That's Jason something or other.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the guy. Was it Isaac? Isaac's definitely involved. He's got such a miscellaneous name.
Jason Clark. Yes.
There you go.
He looks like the SAG equivalent of Jason Clark.
I know why Isaac Clarke is the main guy from Dead Space. That's the name I got mixed up.
We're gonna have to put all these white guys pictures up on the IMF for this episode.
Jason Isaacs is from
which one of these guys is the ones
Harry
we're
Potter.
Talking about.
Yeah, do like a bar quiz. Just have all their faces and all these names. Like,
it'd be like
Isaac
one of the
Clark,
one of these
Jason
names
Isaac.
Is not right. One of them is named John Clark.
One of these
name,
people is in
William
is in
William
Impossible.
Ken. Paul Sam, Thomas.
Sam Worthington. Jai Courtney.
Oh my God.
Okay. But the main reason I don't like Melissa is that she shows up late to her sister's engagement party and then quiets everybody down to make a toast and then immediately brings up the fact that her father is dead, bringing everybody's mood down. I just wish dad was here to walk her down the aisle. And I was like, okay, got walked down the aisle by dad before he died. So you're just rubbing it in Julia's face that, you know, dad died before she got married and, you know,
she's like the J.J. Abrams of toasts. She puts the sad stuff at the beginning.
Melissa
it makes everyone
like,
really feel terrible.
Melissa just needs to not.
Yeah, I really
Melissa,
wish
can you just not?
I really wish Paramount actually made a studio note about this. Be like, Jay, what are you doing with? Like, what are we doing? Like, he's got his writers, and they're just like, you're writing some kind of middling, you know, drama right now, and we're trying to do a spy action film. We got to fix Mission Impossible 2, and what are you doing? Why have all these extras in this
house? Well, that's because that's what he did. That was the baggage he's bringing from Alias.
Yeah,
Alias is about someone who's not just a spy.
Yeah.
They have a depth to them. And it's like Ethan Hunt does not have a depth to him. Ethan Hunt is good at one thing, and that is keeping the world safe. And they double down on that in Fallout.
Yes. And that's why
I'm happy because you're out there keeping me safe because that is what you do. You don't look at the one over the hundreds. You want to save the hundreds and the thousands.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm
Rick, you'll get to that later. It's great.
Yeah, you know, Rick, I swear to God, you're going to love it.
You had to watch this movie, but later in Fallout, this is all going to pay off.
Like, no, okay, what you were saying earlier, I said, I'm a little this on Ghost Protocol, but when Rogue Nation hit, I walked out of that theater being like, I need to see it again. Like, I was like, holy crap, I can't believe the fifth film in a franchise just, like, I think just blew out the first one out of the water. I was so amazed. I was like, it went like one in five were like that because it was just so tight for me.
It made me hate Spectre all the more.
Yeah,
because it was the film that Spectre wished it were.
You know? Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's
well,
honestly,
speaking of films, they wish. Yeah. Do you guys have any more notes? Because I need to get into the fan fiction, and then don't.
No, go to the fan fiction.
No, okay. All I gotta say is
now I get to the nines. Let's get to the nines. Come on.
I'm gonna stop pointing that because I was gonna talk more about the No Time to Die, but now the fact that like because of the delays and everything, it's not coming out until November. Like, I honestly hope they like are making sure that movie's going to be good because I was like. I know you have good cast and you have a good director on it. He's, you know, that Carey guy is good, but I am still worried that that movie is going to be another Spectre. Where it's
I'm worried about that too.
Flash, and then you're like substance. There's nothing here for me. Like,
whereas I have none of those qualms. Like any of the stuff I've heard about the new Mission Impossible movie, I'm like, awesome.
Yeah, great. I'm all for Mission Impossible.
At no point, like I know Cruise is getting old, and at no point are we ever like. We want a movie where it's about Tom Cruise getting old and he's on his way out. Like, none of us are up for that. But Daniel Craig films, they've been doing that for the last eight films with him. Like, since Casino Royale, they're already writing his way out.
A friend of mine basically said that he looked like he was already 50 by the time he started Casino Royale.
Yeah, it's the Casino Royale. He's new hot. This is the new James Bond. And then by the time they got to Quantum, it's always like, James Bond's on his way out. I'm like, what?
He just started.
It just started this. Yeah.
Well, somebody brought up on Twitter the other day that Tom Cruise is now like a year or a month older than Roger Moore was when he did View to a Kill.
And he's kicking ass, man. God bless Tom Cruise's work ethic. He's kicking ass every day.
Yeah.
Every day. Well, here, guys, I have something for you. And Chris, I think this may elevate your
fan fiction.
Yes. Everyone. Oh,
man.
I have something for you. It's called fan fiction. And it is Mission Impossible fan fiction. On Fan Fiction Friday, which I have just now dubbed. Yes, the choo-choo to you, Dave.
Choo-choo to choo.
I was looking for something that would be as good as the book. There are no more novelizations of these movies.
Boo.
That will never happen again. Yeah,
that's
boo.
Too bad.
It's the best stuff ever. But
lost
there,
art.
There are, speaking of lost art, there are a lot of people out there that write stories because the Mission Impossible movies have inspired them. And guess what? They're not talented. So we're going to read some of these stories and the disclaimers that they put before the stories. And then we're going to talk about them because some of them may have some nuggets of good ideas. Sometimes
is this one written by Janice James Abrahams?
No. Oh. No, this is written by someone else. I'll even credit the person who did it. Like, I won't use their full name, but if they had a name on this fan fiction site, I will give it out. This is Mission Impossible 3 ?
Okay. Are you going to forward this to us so that we can read in and do a dramatic reading?
I should do that. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
I mean, we've got a talent like Dave here with us.
We do have a talent like Dave. hold on a second. Let me send this.
I have
to
a tab that is just the Heinz website. I just want to keep that.
Dave, I need you to focus.
In case anyone has questions, I just had it ready. That's all.
What we're going to do is, on Fan Fiction Friday, I'm going to read an excerpt of some fan fiction. And what we're going to do is, we're going to read some of it, but then we're going to abruptly cut off. This is one of those bits where I don't know where it's going to go. We'll see where it is by the end of the episode. But Fan Fiction Friday is already my new favorite bit, and we haven't even started it yet. So... This one is from Dancing Bohemian. It is entitled Mission Impossible 3 ? The name, there are two chapters. We're only going to read part of one. First one is Uncertain Beginnings. Before I read this, I need to read to you the small blurb. Ethan's missions never seem to end, and things just keep getting more complicated. But with his quirky set of friends and peers, that's a weird way to say the IMF.
It is.
Yep.
Yeah. He'll have some great adventures. Serial. Not overly violent, but rated PG just in case. Disclaimer. I don't know who owns Ethan Hunt or Luther Stickle or IMF. Because there's no way to look it up.
Nope.
Or anything else in their universe. But it's not me.
They watch they watch the beginning of the movie and go, is there a company or a production that does this? I don't know. Do they have a logo flying star?
Is this a fan film? Is this a fan film? Whoever you are, please don't sue me. Because I'm sick, literally. And tired, semi-literally. Okay. And don't feel like dealing with it. This is like the, I consider this the Weinstein approach is of saying, I don't feel like you putting me in jail. I don't feel like you putting charges to me. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter what you feel. If you write this and they want to sue you, they're going to sue you.
There's some lawyer at Paramount thinking, okay,
where?
Not today.
I don't know who owns this. He obviously said that already, Rick. His ignorance means that it's fine.
There's a drawer somewhere with Dancing Bohemian's name in it.
So, and please, I don't feel like dealing with it. I also have diddly, so it's not really worth it.
We're going to sue you for everything you have. Okay, here's like a
dollar. Yeah, it's very Rocky, Rocky Five. Sue me for what? I got diddly. So, he has diddly. Chapter one, uncertain beginnings. Let's decide who's going to read what. Do you want me to read just the stage direction? I know Dave's champing at the bit. Would you like to read Ethan?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And you guys get to read anybody else that comes up in what we read. Just decide. All right, you ready? Ethan jumped up swiftly, landing on a table and narrowly missing the path of an axe. An axe.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Quick and easy one for you, Ethan. Quick and easy. Oh, what?
He muttered to himself. As he dodged from blows and looked around for a better strategic position, he recalled the past few months, because he has time to recall the past few months. He'd spent in Morocco, I guess that's a thing, searching for a certain informant who had information. That's what informants do. They have information. It's part of their name, informant. Yes. Information. Okay. On a certain very big, very illegal weapons deal. It's a very big, very illegal weapons deal.
Huge. I think I know who wrote this.
Yeah.
Sitting in the White House.
I think we know who Dancing Bohemian is.
Exactly.
All right. The informant, however, had turned out to be a double agent. Who was getting paid a lot of money in exchange for delivering Ethan to his superiors.
You mean like a hitman?
Yeah, you don't know a double agent.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Ethan was currently trying to prevent the informant from collecting. Currently. What's happening right now is current.
Okay.
In case you're wondering. Okay.
I'll grab this one, Chris.
Okay.
Give up, and perhaps I will not be so harsh when I kill you.
Okay. Hello there.
Hello there.
In my country, I'm a wild and crazy guy.
Well, of course, a double agent is going to be Eastern European.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Duh.
You've picked perfectly. The man's sneer revealed a mouthful of yellow and black teeth.
Oh. He needs to go to the dentist in Shanghai.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
The sex dentist.
Only if you tell me the name of your dentist.
Oh! That's in the script, people. Using the time it took his opponent to understand the joke, Ethan maneuvered his way to a narrow hall in which the axe could be moved up and down. So, any place with space around it.
Why, you swine!
The man charged, bearing the axe wildly above his head.
For that insult, I will cut you from head to toe.
Well, your accent's all over the place, Rick.
All over the place.
Okay. Ethan grabbed a metal pipe from the ground of the hallway that he was in. Let's be honest. This is really well written. From the ground and blocked the axe's swing.
Well,
he said through grunts of effort.
Since that was probably your plan anyway, I think it was fairly worth it.
What's he talking
what
about?
What does that mean?
No idea.
For that insult, I will cut you from head to toe.
Oh, so the insult.
Well,
worth
since
it.
That was probably your plan anyway, I think it's fairly worth it. What is fairly worth it?
The joke or the insult?
Okay,
it was worth saying. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Ethan's left knee came up sharply into the other man's gut, and as soon as his foot touched the ground, his right leg vaulted the man over Ethan's head and into the wall behind him. So, okay. So he did one of those moves where he stuck his knee into the guy's chest and then flipped him over him.
Oh, yeah, that move.
That move.
I've done it all the time. I'm so fit.
Unlike Ethan, the man was not IMF trained and therefore could not withstand any and all attacks short of nuclear bomb placed directly on his skull. Okay, we need to stop for a second because I don't know what's happening.
I mean, a lot less is going to take out Ethan.
I mean, no amount of training will stop a bomb on your skull. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially if it's in your brain.
It's in your brain. I put a bomb in your brain.
Put a bomb in your brain.
Ethan approached the poor individual who had slumped half upside down against the stone. He's half upside down.
That's so just sideways?
Sideways. Against the stone. You're laying horizontal is half upside down. You know, when you think about it, are you more of a half upside down kind of guy?
Or a half right side up.
Yep. I'm a half right side up kind of guy. The axe had broken his fall and cut deep into his own thigh.
Oh, hoisted by his own petard.
Oh, no.
So tell me, where can I find the stone artillery?
I don't know. I am only hired to lure you.
Ethan smiled, but showed no sign of amusement. No, you smiled. That is the sign of amusement.
That is literally a sign of amusement, yeah.
Right. You're just doing your job. Is that it?
The broken man tried to right himself, tried to half sit up, I assume. The broken man tried to right himself a little and backed further away, clutching his bleeding leg.
Yes, yes, that's it. Nothing personal.
Oh, now we've got Irish. Okay. Shaking his head, Ethan picked up the axe, gave him a look full of pity when the man quivered and tossed it carelessly behind him. Wait, okay. Ethan picked up the axe, gave a look of pity when the man quivered and tossed it carelessly behind him. Got it. He had the axe. The man looked pitiful. He threw the axe behind him.
Funny how nothing is ever personal. Men try to trick, defeat, or kill me all the time, but it's never, ever personal.
Ethan crouched down next to him and grabbed him by the neck.
Either you tell me where to find the weapons, or I snap your neck right here and now.
His eyes wide with terror, he gulped and began to hyperventilate.
The north warehouse at the harbor.
Ethan's fingers deftly sought the pressure points at the base of the man's throat.
Thanks. Nothing personal.
So did he just kill him? NC.
Oh, totally.
Oh, my God.
He just straight up murdered a dude.
Rick, I loved your reading. I really thought it was going to get more of an Abbott and Costello, more of a... More of a... That kind of, but it's good. I like it. We're not going to do a second take. That was excellent. You did an excellent job.
It's funny. Do we want to try again on that accent? No, we're fine.
Yeah, we started with Eastern European and we ended with Irish, so we're good. We've moved all through Europe.
Yeah.
Dave, spot on. Chris, next time we'll get you in there. I don't know why there wasn't a part for you. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So this was written in 2002, as the page says, and what makes me laugh is, we have, like, a dentist scene, and we've already had our dentist jokes earlier in Mission Puzzle 3. And we had this, like, fight scene in a hallway with an axe. And all I kept thinking was, like, what if the Daredevil fight scene was really bad?
Like, you mean what if any fight scene was really bad?
Yeah, I kept thinking about that hallway fight scene. Daredevil would be like, yeah, but what if it was, like, everything was bad. It was really written bad. And like,
instead of the Kingpin played by Vincent D'Onofrio, it was the Kingpin played by Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
And he'd be
And then Daredevil, like, grabbed an axe and choked the guy to death.
Well, that's Fan Fiction Friday. That's your first taste of it. All right. Let's. Hey, guys, I'm going to swing this axe around my head. And while I do, in the time that it takes me to comprehend the joke, can we all jump into the tech of the app?
Yeah. Oh, God, we're not even at the tech of the app part yet. Oh, my God.
It's never going to end. Hey, you remember how the first week is. We overachieve. We do too long of episodes.
Yerp.
So, well, welcome to the tech of the app. We're all exhausted.
Good nap.
Let's talk about our techs of the apps. Let's make Dave go first. Because okay. He did the best. He did the heavy lifting during Fan Fiction Friday.
I appreciate it. Man, I love how the fact there's all this cast shown in the credits and they're not in this party scene. Let's see. Tech. We got Fridge. I don't know. Does Fridge count as a tech?
Just Fridge. Hey, it's a big part of Indiana Jones' movies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess.
Keeps your beer and condiments cold. I mean, I'm a big fan of that.
You're a big fan of condiments, as we all know. Big fan.
All right, yeah, that's, I'm going to go Fridge for your condiments and beer. Boom.
I like that you did a little ad for fridges in case someone doesn't have one. Wait, condiments and beer? Awesome.
That's crazy.
What else do you need in there?
Chris, what about you?
I'm going with the out-of-focus Grunberg.
Oh, keep it that way.
Yeah, in media res.
In media res.
Rick, what about you?
Oh, my tech of this ep has to be the 2004 Ford Taurus that Melissa and Ken arrive in.
Of course you'd pick that. We're such gearheads.
I'm on Kelly Blue Book right now where the top review is a 4 out of 5 star review from someone named Ethan who says that the Ford Taurus is not the best, but it works and gets you around.
Mm.
So thanks, Ethan.
That sounds like a 3-star review you read on Amazon. Those are the ones that are like, it's not what I thought it'd be, but it's fine. And you're like, okay, well, that's not a review. You've done nothing but to help me with this.
Now, I'm not saying that first one was Ethan Hunt, but down below there is someone else named E.H. who says it's a great car. 4 out of 5 stars.
It's a great car with a great steering wheel. It doesn't whiff out of your hands while you're driving.
When I'm driving around with an axe, I am very happy with this car.
20 miles per gallon, 155 horsepower. When you need to get to Virginia for an engagement party.
I have to go to the dentist a lot, and this car gets me there all the time. Now it's just turned into Wild and Crazy Guys.
It is a shame that your father is dead and cannot walk you down the aisle.
It is a shame. I'm so sorry. Would you like some relish? American? Because that's probably what Americans eat on their hamburgers.
You probably love your mother-in-law.
I will, like your brother, I will also take off my clothes and hug you. All right, well, mine's the technique of the ep week, and it is the superb Fan Fiction Friday that we had.
Yes.
I have a feeling Fan Fiction Friday is going to start becoming my tech of the ep every week. It beats out everything. We're going to have a lot more stories. These stories are all short because these guys have literally, you think Chris is a 4. These guys write like a 2 and they have no energy and they cannot continue. So I think these are going to be great. We're going to get these little vignettes of stories that could have been like this Ethan Hunt, this guy who fights axes. We're going to find out a little bit more about him. And then from then on, we're going to learn about new episodes every week. So super excited for that. Give me your plugs, boys.
I'm over at 5 Minutes of Mystery, where I cover the 1999 superhero comedy ensemble Mystery Men.
And I am over on madmaxminute.com, where you can find me and my co-host talking about the Mad Max series of movies. We've done 4 movies so far. We'll do number 5 when it eventually comes out.
Yeah.
Also, sometime in 2020, there will exist the RoboCop Minute, which I am hosting with a couple other guys from the Movies by Minute podcast community. So keep an ear out for that as well.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Awesome. It's going to be so much fun. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for being on tonight. It was a late night. We recorded late into the night. I really appreciate it. Chris, I'm happy to be back talking about Mission Impossible.
Me too, actually.
Yeah, we'll be back next week with new guests and some new fan fiction. So until next week, thank you. And I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Dave.
And I've been Rick.
Yeah, see you later, Rick. We love you very much. This mission will self-destruct.
I think this mission already self-destructed.